Morning. It's great to be with you this morning. It's great to be able to celebrate Jesus with you today. This is a very significant weekend. It comes around every year. It's Memorial Day weekend, and like Ethan shared at the beginning of the service, we need to really be grateful and thankful that there were men and women who gave their lives for our freedom, and we are so significantly focused on that. Tomorrow's a great day of reflection about the cost. Freedom's not free, that it costs a lot to be able to have the freedoms that we have, to be able to even engage in a conversation about the gospel like we're doing today, or even to come together and worship. It's truly a freedom that we have that was paid at a great price. You know, I also want to let you know, I know a lot of you are thinking about, when are we going to come back together again and worship together? Well, I will just tell you that just every morning, fire up your phone and check your email. Every morning, you know, every afternoon, go on your computer, check your email, look at your social media, and follow along, and we'll be sharing you with updates to give you that information. As soon as things become more and more galvanized, we'll be able to share with you when we get back together again. It's going to be very, very soon, and we're excited about that. We're finishing up, we're moving into the third of the four lessons that we've been talking about. The call, that God calls us, that God directs this specific call into our lives. And today, we're dealing with a very interesting figure in the Scriptures. His name is Jeremiah. We're focusing in on just a few verses in chapter 1. As we look at Jeremiah, we see that there are some very significant truths that we can learn about ourselves, that we can see how God speaks to us, how God calls us out by looking at the template of Jeremiah's life. I want us to look at the very first passage today. It's verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me. So Jeremiah is writing this book, and it says in verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me. The word of Yahweh came to me. The point that I want you to see is this. It's pretty significant. You don't have to be a biblical character or an extra special person for God to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you today. God wants to speak to you in this message. God wants to speak to you every day. The problem is, for most of us, that spiritually we are so anemic, we don't identify God's voice when we do think when God is trying to connect with us and communicate with us. In fact, a lot of times we think that there's going to be a bolt from the blue and somehow we're knocked down like Paul on the road to Damascus, and then that's when God talks to us. Or some of us have just flat out don't have it in our personal theology that God wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to you through the Word, through the Bible. God wants to speak to you through lessons and messages. God wants to speak to you in conversations with others. And God wants to speak to you, speak into your heart, speak into your mind, and to reveal His truth to you. God wants to talk to you. You know, we think Jeremiah is a really extra special kind of guy. He was born in 650 B.C. and lived to about 570 B.C. Actually, we don't know exactly when he died. The last time we saw him, he's being carried off into Egypt, into exile, and he's screaming all the way. He doesn't want to go. He is the son of a priest, but as far as we can tell, Jeremiah is not a priest and does not follow his father into the priesthood. His call, when the word of the Lord came to him, it was somewhere between 627 and 626 B.C., before Jesus was born. He grew up in a small suburban town in the tribe of Benjamin, just outside of Jerusalem. It is very possible that his family goes all the way back to Eli, who was Samuel's mentor that we talked about last week. His dad functioned as a priest, but we don't see anything priestly in Jeremiah's prophecies. In fact, he is very anti-priests in his prophecies. But Jeremiah wrote the prophecies of Jeremiah. He wrote the book of Lamentations. Rabbinical traditions say that he wrote the book of Kings. Now, in our book, in our Bible, we see that Kings is divided between 1st and 2nd Kings, but in the original context of the Old Testament, Kings was one volume. He is the second of all of the major prophets with Isaiah and Ezekiel. He is highly esteemed. In fact, when Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" they say John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah. So Jeremiah is highly esteemed, but he was a suburban kid that lived just outside of Jerusalem. His dad was religious, but he kind of rebelled against that, and yet God spoke to him. God's call came to him. It came to him as a young man. And I don't know if it was like a bolt out of the blue, if it was a subtle thing, whether it was like Elijah who heard in 2 Kings 18, 1 Kings 18, a still small voice, or whether it was like Adam and Eve in the garden where God is calling out their name, "Where are you?" I don't know. And we can't tell from the text. It's just Jeremiah says, "The word of the Lord came to me," and it changed his life. When God speaks to us, it changes our lives. When we start listening to God and what he is trying to tell us, what he's trying to speak to us, it does change our lives. By worldly standards, Jeremiah is a failure because no one listens to his prophecies. But by God's standards, he's a great success because he is faithful in delivering the prophecies that God has called him to give. In fact, he's known as the weeping prophet because of his writings in Lamentations. He's imprisoned in a septic tank. He's ignored. He's persecuted. He's beat. He's scoffed at. And again, he is last seen fussing as he's being taken out of Jerusalem, heading off to Egypt with a group of Hebrews that are escaping the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem. But yet he remained faithful despite the circumstances, despite his hardships. When God speaks to you, when you have that kind of intimacy with God, when he speaks to you, it does not matter what kind of pushback you experience in life. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter about the impressions that people have. You know, if you can get over your worry about what your family, what your husband, your wife think about you, if you can get over what your kids think about you, if you get over what your parents think about you, if you can get over about what your friends think about you or what your boss thinks about you, if you can get past all of that stuff and only realize that you live your life for an audience of two. You thought I was going to say one. You live your life for an audience of to God. He is the only one that counts. And for you, and the second person in that audience is yourself. That you are true to yourself as you're true to God. Those are the only things that matters in life. And that's exactly the way it was with Jeremiah. Jeremiah focused in on these things. He understood that. In Romans 10:17, it says, "So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ." Jeremiah had this amazing faith so that when God spoke to him, it created this huge amount of faith. In Isaiah 30:21, it says, "And whenever you turn to your right or to your left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way, walk in it." You know, Isaiah makes this incredible statement, and that's exactly how Jeremiah lived his life. And that's the call for each of us, and that as we live our lives, God speaks to us like he is trailing behind us. He is with us in every aspect of our lives, and he wants to speak into our lives so we know exactly what choices and decisions that we can make. When we are listening to the voice of God, when we can identify that it's God's voice speaking to us, then we know what truth is. Now, if we are struggling with, you know, our own ego, if we're dealing with our own narcissistic tendencies, then it's very easy for us to get confused about what we think we should do and what God should do. But when we're really listening to God, he starts to shave off that kind of stuff and that kind of thinking. There's a humility that comes with that that allows us to know this is God. Jesus says in Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open. The door will be open to you." So what is Jesus saying here? What is Isaiah saying? What did Paul say in Romans? That there is this conversation that God speaks to us and it changes everything. Jesus goes on and says in Matthew 10:27, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in a whisper, proclaim it to the housetops." Why would Jesus make this statement? Because he's saying God speaks to us quietly, intimately, so that we can then proclaim what is truth. And that every single one of us, every one of you that are listening to me today, God wants to speak to you. Elijah heard that. Jonah heard that. He heard, and in fact, it's almost the same statement in multiple places in his book. So it doesn't matter who you are, God wants to talk to you. God wants to speak to you. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, it goes on and says, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So we see this incredible statement that God knows you even before you were born and has an amazing plan for your life. So I don't know if you're 80 or 70 or 60 or 50 or 40 or 30 or 20 in your teens or younger. God knew you before you were born. God sees you as a special, special creation. He has been looking for this intimate relationship with you. He has sought out to be able to speak into you. He formed you and helped mold you. In Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Verse 16 goes on and says, Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. That's how intimate God is with you. That's how much he knows about you before you were even born. In Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, it says this, For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy, blameless, and holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the beloved one, in Jesus. So here's the amazing thing. God knew you before you were even molded and shaped in your mother's womb. He had this intimacy with you in heaven before it all began. He has this plan for you. He had this plan for Jeremiah, and he calls him when he's a young man and calls him into this prophetic ministry to the nations. Jeremiah never traveled, but his prophecies incorporated all the nations around him. And I can't imagine the incredible possibilities that no matter what your age is, listen to this, no matter what your age is, whether you are a senior adult, a median adult, whether you're married or single, whether you're single again, whether you're a young person or a child, God has known you before you were born and has had an amazing plan for you. And you think, well, have I blown it? I mean, I pursued other careers. I've been doing other things. I didn't even become a Christian until I became an older person. Well, God's plan incorporates all these realities. And if you're willing to hear what God's plan and purpose is for you, you can step in to the greatest part of your life. That you may be running a marathon, but when you kick it in the last 3 or 4 miles of that race, God's going to do incredible things in and through and with you. There is no retirement plan in the kingdom of God. It is only focused on being responsive to what God is calling us to be and to do. This tells us that life is precious. Jeremiah was precious to God, and you're precious to God. God knew you before you were born. He knows everything about you. He knows when you have struggled. He has known when you have stumbled. He knows your setbacks. He knows when you've gone off track. He knows your sins by number. He knows your personality distortions. Nothing that happens is unnoticed by God. But yet when God sees you, he doesn't see you with all of those losses and failures. He sees you with the identity of what he has planned for you and is waiting for you to join him in making that identity become a reality. That's so incredible. It is so amazing. It's taking our shape, our spiritual giftedness. It's taking our passions in life. It's taking your special abilities. It's taking your personality traits. It's taking your experiences, and that God wants to propel you into doing something incredible for the kingdom. Also, I want you to see this. Do not short sell yourself or let others short sell you, sell what God can do in your life. You see, this is a major problem Many times when God speaks to us and calls us, we start creating this litany, this list of things, why we can't, why I can't, why that's not me. Or, even more tragically, the people around us are such knuckleheads, they start speaking ill stuff into us, and God has all these great plans, and so many people hear and listen to other people rather than God. And that just amazingly shuts down this whole premise when we stop listening to ourselves and stop making rationalizations and excuses and stop listening to other people. There's incredible potential about what God can do. Look at verse 6. Jeremiah protests, but I protested. Oh no, Lord God. Look, I don't know how to speak since I'm only a youth. And then the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to rescue you. This is the Lord's declaration. Wow, what an incredible passage. What he's saying is, don't let people tell you you're too young to do this. Don't let people tell you you're too old to do this. Don't let people tell you you're not educated enough to do this. Don't let people tell you that your personality is not good for this. Don't let people distract you from what God's purpose is for you. It's really interesting that Moses, when he is called by God to go and set his God's people free, to return to the Hebrews and to extract them with this rescue mission to set them free from slavery in Egypt, Moses starts making an excuse. I can't. I'm a man who stutters. I'm not eloquent enough. Well, in Exodus, when this takes place, God is ticked off with Moses, but that's not what happens with Jeremiah. He loves him. He is very loving in this connection here. Why? Because he sees that Moses can be a blockhead, and Jeremiah is a young guy who is so formidable. And the same thing that Jeremiah says here in verses 6 through 8, it's fascinating that Paul makes the same statement about himself over in Galatians, the first chapter in verse 15, but when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, or Peter. And I stayed with him for 15 days, but I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And I declare in the sight of God, I am not lying in what I write to you. So Paul says, God called me to this purpose before I was born. Then he reveals Jesus to me as I am a young man. And he says, I didn't consort with other people. Jesus is the one who honed me and structured me and taught me. I didn't confer with any of the other disciples. I'm not here as a person that is here representing other men. I'm here representing Jesus. And I don't know whether you're a man or a woman, what your racial or economic background or your educational background is. I don't know whatever it is that you and who makes you special. God wants to speak to you. And it may not be to speak the gospel to the Gentiles like Paul. It may not be to be a prophet like Jeremiah, but he's got something unique and special. And he wants to have such an intimate relationship with you that you can talk to him and that he can talk to you. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of a schizophrenic psychosis where you think you're hearing the voice of God. When God speaks to you, it becomes this reality, this huge transformational concept. Over in 1 Timothy 4, verse 11, it says, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of the Scriptures, to preaching and to teaching, and do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. That is so huge. So Paul is understanding that this young pastor that he's mentoring, Timothy, has the same problem that Jeremiah is. He's a young guy, and he says, don't let anyone look down on you. Don't let anyone, hear me, Don't let anyone look down on you. Whatever you've gone through, whatever hardships you've experienced, whatever you think you lack, God has the replacement for that. God wants to equip you and to use you for the betterment of his kingdom. We can't say I'm too old. We can't say I'm too young. We can't say I'm too inexperienced. I don't have anything to offer. I'm too battered by sin, too broken by life. I don't know enough. You don't know my past. We are all called, and God wants to commission us. So it's time to go. It's time to follow him. It's time to hear what he has to say. God promises to be with you. He promised that he would be with Jeremiah. He promises to be with you, to empower you, to lead you. There are no excuses. There are absolutely no excuses from hearing what God has to say, believing what God has to say. Now, I can tell you this, God will never speak to you in your prayer life or through other people to lead you to a place that's inconsistent with his word. It's always going to be consistent with his word. But the Bible is that structure, that boundary, that lane that we can follow. And as we are obedient to his word, he is going to reveal more and more for us. And it changes our lives. It'll change this church. It will change our community. It'll change our world. In verses 9 and 10, I want you to see this. Whatever you need, God has and will provide and equip you for your calling. You think that, you know, Jeremiah thought, I don't have what it takes. I'm not sure what I need to do. And it says that God, verse 9, then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, I have now filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over the nations and the kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to demolish and to build and to plant. What an incredible passage. It says, just like Isaiah said when he saw God in the temple last week, I'm a man with unclean lips from a nation of unclean lips. And it, as I explained to you last week, it meant not because he was cussing like a sailor. It meant that he had given unbelievable adoration to the king, and he'd given unbelievable adoration to others when he should have been giving adoration to God. And so God wants all of our attention and all of our focus. And so just as Isaiah needed God to touch his mouth so that all he would do is speak on and speak of God's amazing grace and love, God's holiness, and God's plan for humanity, he fills Jeremiah with his words and then gives him, so he's equipped him with what to say, what to be able to prophesy. And God is constantly speaking in to Jeremiah's life. In fact, it's to the point when you get over to chapter 20 and verse 9, Jeremiah says, I can't shut up because the word that God has given me is like a fire in my bones. It is burning. And when you listen to God, when you are listening and focusing on his call, when you become obedient to him, the excuses stop, the fears go away, the laziness ends, the ego submits to God. Humility becomes the order of day. We are surrendered and authentically bent, and God's word fills us, and we do and carry out what he calls us to do. He calls us and equips us. I don't know what your spiritual giftedness is. I don't know what your passions are. I don't know what your abilities are or your experiences are. I don't know what your personality traits are, but God wants to take you just as you are. Whether you have been a Christian for a long time or for a short period of time, God wants to take you just the way you are. You're a perfect vessel, a perfect vehicle for him to use. For some of you, it's to love other people and to do acts of love for them. For others, it's to be able to just, you know, reach out to young people or to children or reach out to senior adults. For some, it's just to bring happiness and joy and to serve other people. For others, it's to do administrative stuff. For others, it's to teach. For others, it's to preach. For others, it's to pray for those who need healing and wholeness. And for others, it's to be able to just trust and believe that God can do amazing and miraculous things. God wants us to go. I remember back one of the stories that came out of 9/11 was the story, one of the characters, one of the guys that was on the plane that crashed into the countryside in Pennsylvania, Todd Beamer. I know that his wife said that one of his expressions that he said that was all the time, and it was recorded on one of the phone calls to be right before they rushed the cockpit, was, "Let's roll." You know, and as I was preparing for this message, I thought, you know, what an incredible statement. It's time for us to roll. It's time for us to get up. It's time for us to go. It's time for us to follow. So I want to challenge you today. Let's roll. Let's follow God. Let's hear His voice. Let's follow Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. I want you, if you're watching on Facebook, I want you to, after this service is over, I want you to type in what you think God is calling you to do with your life. Just say it. God, I don't know what I want you to do. Then say, God, I'm open for you to do whatever you would like for me to do with my life. I am listening to your voice. Speak to me, God, and show me. Some of you are thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to take that risk. What do you have to risk? A life that's doing what God wants you to do, or a life that you want to follow? I'm thinking, between the two, the scales tip towards God every time. Some of you think, again, you're going to come up with the rationalizations, just like Jeremiah, and say, you can't use me. That is not from God. God says, I can use you. Maybe you're just going to type in, I'm ready to go. Let's roll. And then let God show you what that is. But this is a way for us to take a step to be able to proclaim to ourselves and to the people around us, our friends, our family, our faith family, I am not sitting around. I'm not waiting. I'm not going to believe that God doesn't have anything for me. God wants to speak to you and show you and direct you. Maybe He's already been talking to you. Maybe He's going to start speaking to you and you're going to start listening. But God's going to move and change and shift some things. And this is one of those first steps that we can experience all of that. Let's pray. Dear God, you are so incredible that you want to speak to me, that you want to speak into my life. And there's not a person that's listening that's going to listen in the dial-a-sermon tomorrow, that's going to listen to this some other time during the day or the week, that you don't want to speak to. That you pursue us to speak to us. And every time we open up your word, you're speaking to us. Every time we pray, it's not just a one-sided conversation. We want to be listening and hearing what you have to say. Holy Spirit, speak to us. God, we want to be open to be used by you no matter what our age, no matter where we've been, no matter where we're going. Even in social distancing, God, you want to speak to us. God, help us to be attentive and to hear. Help us to be open to you. And to God, speak. Give us that truth. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. Help us discover our destiny, our purpose that you've set us aside for. And that God, use us. We know that your word says that you will equip us. So God, help us to be open for you to equip, to change, to do everything that you can with us. God, help us.